Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast. You got Roper.
Yo.
You got me. Heyo. We got a pretty interesting episode. We've been pretty positive lately with our top five
albums of the year
releases. And then we had Christmas songs. You can't really have too much of a depressing Christmas song.
No.
Unless you're me. And so now we're like, you know what? I want to get a little hate out.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the year. We don't have to be jolly anymore. Fuck that shit.
No.
That's a little aggressive. So anyway, we're doing our top five songs we hate by artists we love. Now, I wanted to put a little disclaimer out here. It's a little bit of a clickbait. We don't necessarily hate these songs. We might. I hate a few of mine. I don't hate all of mine, but I hate a few of them.
Yeah, they're not necessarily bad songs. It's just we don't like them.
Yeah, we don't like them. So time for some positivity. So we're gonna jump into our listener responses. We actually have some this time. Thanks,
yeah.
Guys. You piped up. I like that.
Thanks for piping up.
Roper, what we got? What we got, buddy?
Okay. Francisco G19, frequent answer.
I was gonna say you missed an bud.
Well, I was trying to, I don't know. He said, my favorite band is Under Oath. That's an easy question. Their first two albums are pretty bad. Which is kind of weird because their second album, Only Chasing Safety, is like probably their most popular album.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's the only one that I'm really familiar with.
I've never really listened to Under Oath that much. They're more of a heavier band, right?
Yeah, I don't think you would like them.
Probably not.
But, yeah, it's interesting answer. But you know what? Thank you for answering our question.
Yeah, we need more. Under Oath needs more like, whoa-oh-ohs.
They do not. Watch Your Tone Vision said that Christmas, the Used song they play in Guitar Center, barf emoji.
Some negativity, I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I want to do one, Roper.
Oh.
I picked the hardest one. Troubled Rebel of Tiny Falls says Most of Nine by Blink-182, which is their most recent record.
Yeah.
Or Bootlicker by Pet Sematary. Have you listened to Pet Sematary that much?
I think I've maybe heard one or two songs.
That's where I'm at with, like, I recognize the band and the movie.
Yeah.
But I have not really given them much of a shot. So
neither
have I. Now I know what to avoid.
Bootlicker.
Lickler. Most of Nine by Blink-182, totally agree with that. There's a few of those songs on there that I really enjoyed. The one with the Target dancing music video.
I remember you talking
Dark
about
Side.
It.
I know it's not a good song, but I like it.
I don't know, like, after they put out California, I was kind of like, okay, they came back, and I was expecting it to be, like, one and done.
Yeah.
And then they put out this new record, or newer record, and I just haven't even tried.
Like, the last California was decent.
It was okay.
I hate that song, Bored to Death, though.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, the lead single. I remember listening to it and being like, maybe it'll grow on me.
It was, like, all over the radio, too. And then I don't know. Because I saw them that summer that album came out, and I was, like, all about Blink then.
Mm.
And then I think No Future was, like, the only other one that stood out. But I think it stood out to me is because they all, like, fucking talked about it in, like, interviews and stuff.
I remember that one, but not, like, super well. There's a few on there, like, Dear Head, Shut Up. I can't listen no more. I think it's like Rabbit or something.
Rabbit Hole or something like that. Yeah, I'm such a Tom fan anyways that like it's really hard for me to listen to that band without him.
Sure, yeah.
So
that's fair.
It's not really fair to Matt Skiba because Matt Skiba's awesome too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like
he's fine.
When they play together live, like there's no difference really. His voice is a little bit different, but like the songs, I mean, it's so loud anyways that you're not even going to fucking notice.
Yeah, you can't
notice.
Like really put, like get yeah. those distinguishes out. We got some new releases. You want to jump into those?
Yeah.
Another slow week. What is going on? Roper had to save our butts again. Pine Grove, one of my little cult favorites, as I like to say, released a new song called Respirate. Shake it.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it a lot.
Like
I am a huge fan of their first record they dropped. Then the next two were like hits and misses in there. Like, I think it was just almost too folky for me.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't really any energy to it. A lot of soul. Like, I love, I think his name's Evan the main singer.
I can't remember.
But his, he has such a like interesting and like cool, like folky, like,
yeah,
but he can like bring energy when he needs to. So Pine Grove's like one of those bands that like I love, even if I don't enjoy some of the releases they make.
Their last single that they put out, Alaska, is fucking awesome.
I like that one too. And so I'm more waiting just for the full record so I can give it a full spin.
I can't wait for that. I like all the records that they put out. The first one, like you said, it's probably my favorite, but
yeah,
that blue record that has Rings on it, I think Rings is probably my favorite song by them.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really remember like connecting.
I just like
that
the part. I like the little like subtle guitar part where it goes ding 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 ding.
Is it like a bass or?
No, it's just regular guitar.
Oh.
And then he's like, "You're sleeping with your rings on." Fucking love it.
What else we got?
And then I found, I'm not super familiar with this band. I must follow them on Spotify, but
what an endorsement.
They're called Valiant Hearts, and this song is called Vertigo, and it features Marvin Bruckwilder. The lead singer's voice in this song is like phenomenal.
Yeah, great. I was actually impressed with it. Like, it's not for me, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be. Like you said, this was like kind of a tough week for us in releases, because I'm expecting somebody to drop something big here soon, just because it's the beginning of the year.
There's no hype though.
I think like March-ish.
That's when it's going to start to come through.
We'll get some.
Find Me at the Altar.
Meet Me at the Altar.
There it is. I found Meet Me at the Altar.
Yeah, I saw that. They're
releasing a new full length for the first time.
Yeah, so
their
first
full length. Wonder Years has talked about dropping their next full length, but it's having supply issues with vinyl, so they've kind of been stuck in a rut.
Thanks, Adele.
And T Swift.
Yeah.
And I know this year is going to be a good year for music.
Oh yeah, everybody's back on tour too. So like,
it's kind of exhausting for me.
Well,
it's just too much happening. Like, you guys gotta take turns. I can only see so many of you.
I don't think it works that way.
I'm very poor.
I don't know. Since concert season started, I think I've been to at least 10.
10? Oh, way more than I have. I think I've been to 2, maybe 3 if I'm forgetting one.
Are you counting like...
I'm counting the hardcore show I went to and the one we went together.
Okay.
That's 2.
And then you went with me to...
Oh, I saw Display Case. That's 3.
Yeah, we saw Display Case together.
Yeah.
Oh, you were talking about the other one that we went to with Belmont and Capstan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been... Would you count a festival as... each band playing a single concert?
No, I would not.
Then that'd be like 40. 40 concerts in like 3 months. But yeah, it was getting kind of exhausting there for a minute.
We got a really fun list for you guys though. So Roper, how about we jump into it? Are you ready, buddy?
Yeah. Okay, Hunter. My first, the first song...
Yeah.
Is by a band, my favorite band.
Say it ain't so.
No, it's not Weezer. It's not Weezer.
I'm sorry.
If it was Weezer, I'd pick Beverly Hills, because that
probably
song
me too.
Fucking blows.
I'm so tired of hearing it.
I was tired of hearing it in sixth grade when it came out.
Can you imagine like a sixth grader being like, "You suck, Weezer."
Yeah, that was the little fat me. If I have to watch Beverly Hills one more time on MTV, I'm shutting this off.
Next up, we have Beverly Hills by Weezer.
God dang it. Anyways, I picked Dance Gavin Dance.
Oh, my God.
My favorite band.
Yeah.
What are some songs that I love by this artist?
I got to know that. I need to spread some positivity.
Too many to fucking count, but here's a couple that I put.
Oh, okay.
Here's some of my favorites. One song that I love by them, is Death of a Strawberry. I also
Death of a Strawberry.
I also like Elder Goose, Nothing Shameful, and On the Run. Just a few if you guys never heard this band.
They're a good band.
Hell yeah, they are. What album or EP is this from? It is from their 2020 album, Afterburner. And the song that I picked is I can't even pronounce it.
Do your best.
Calentamiento Global.
Global that gave you issues?
Yep.
I figured. Can I say something about this song?
Yeah.
What a weird fucking song.
Dude, that's exactly why I put it on my list. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, because if you listen to this album from the start, you're like ready to fucking go. And then this song is like the third track on it, and it almost took me completely out of it. The first listen, I was like, all right, here we go. It's only going up from here. And then they just start playing this weird track, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Like, it all sounded good.
Yeah, sonically.
But it was like, all right. It's like the lead singer was like, all right, guys, let's get together here. Let's huddle around. I have an idea. How about I speak Spanish on this song?
Yeah.
And then we also have a marching band.
Yeah.
But we're still going to yell.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the marching band's kind of a cool idea, actually.
Yeah.
I like when you hear that. There's a few songs I can think of that do something like that.
Yeah.
But this one is just like, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. It's just very off-putting to me. Like, if you're like in the mood to listen to this album, this just like will kind of take you out. And I'm sure there's people that are like die by this song, and they're like, no, this song fucking rules.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's so unorthodox. And, like, that band is already unorthodox half the time. Like, you never know what the fuck they're going to put on. But this was, like, a whole new level of weird for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, like, right away. Well, actually, I think I do know what it is. I think it's just, like, him singing in Spanish being, like, you're not expecting it. You know what I mean?
It does come out because nowhere else on the record that I remember
like,
he does
Yeah,
that.
I don't want to sound, like, ignorant to it.
Yeah.
Which, like, I have no problem with him speaking in a different language, but it was just like, you're waiting to hear this fucking awesome album, and then this just comes out of nowhere, and you're like, where's this going? And then, like, the guitar tracks, when he is speaking in Spanish and stuff, they have, like, this weird, like, you know when you play a video game and you're typically in, like, a sand area?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, Egypt, or, like, a sand setting? They've got, like, kind of, like, guitar riffs that, like, resemble that. And I always hate sand levels anyways, just because of like the weird off-putting music.
Sure.
So that just kind of, I'm fucking weird, but like.
You know, like all of Mario 3?
Oh, I love Mario 3, but I hate the sand levels.
See, I feel like it's most the game for some reason.
Well, they always have like a standard, like winter level, sand level, large level. Like today I was playing Skyward Sword and I was stuck on the sand level for like 4 hours.
Do you have the
I have the remake.
I know, but do you have like the, is it digital or is it?
No, I didn't buy it. I got it for Christmas.
You should let me borrow it after you're done.
I will. I'm almost about to beat it.
Okay. I've never played that one.
Oh dude. It's like probably, it's fun and it's like kind of challenging, but it's not like ridiculously hard. It's okay. The puzzles that kind of fuck you up. Like they're obvious puzzles. Like, there's one where I had to shoot through like a fan and I just kept running past the fan the whole time. Like, where the fuck am I supposed to go? And then I literally look to the left and see something that I have to shoot through the fan blade. I'm like, that was what I was stuck on for like 3 hours.
Oh, just like just running look back. It up, I was, man. Just
I,
look it up.
Well, I don't want to be that guy.
Like 25 minutes of me trying to figure out a puzzle, I'm like, I'm not having fun anymore. I'm going to look up the answer.
I am exaggerating. It wasn't quite 3 hours, but it was a long fucking time.
Okay.
And then once I found it, I was like, good God.
I'll take your word for it.
Anyways. yeah. So it has like these like sand level vibes to it where I'm like, I already don't like this, like,
yeah,
but everything else in it, like, they're master class musicians, so like everything else instrumentally, like once it gets past that, is still fucking great. Like John Mess's unclean vocals are fucking awesome too. It's just like, it's just an off-putting song, so it's a easy skip for me.
Yeah. No, I can feel that.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's about it.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? You chose your favorite band. I'm going to choose my favorite band for my number five.
Great way to start it off.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to choose a little song by The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
So some songs I like with this artist. I chose like one song for like each album just to prove my love. So I got Melrose Diner, Don't Let Me Cave In, Passing Through a Screen Door, a song for Ernest Hemingway, It Must Get Lonely.
Nice.
All amazing songs that I absolutely adore by this band. But the song I chose is off the record, No Closer to Heaven, dropped in 2015. And it's the title track, No Closer to Heaven.
Digging up the bones, the failures I'm buried. I'm pulling down my white flags, various stages, the sun bleached and gray. Get us all more together, gonna fashion the bones into a frame. Tie the flags on the string, stressed across until the wings are no closer to heaven.
I'm not a big fan of this song either.
I don't fucking get it, man. I just it seems, and like, not to sound like rude to my favorite band, but like, it just seems lazy to me.
Is this the last track on the album? This is the last one. Okay.
So there's like 13 tracks on the album. And so usually I can understand it if there's like 10 tracks on an album. They're like, well, we need to get like one more out there to get a full length album. But like, this one had 13. It could have just ended in a different way. I think they wanted to end it in a very somber way, but it's just like, I don't hate the song.
Yeah.
It's just every time I listen to it, I'm like, this is, you know, I just don't get it. So I said, I just don't think I understand where they're going for here. Like, what is the point of the song? You know, this is the album closer. And I think they're trying for a somber, like, meh feel here.
Yeah.
But it's just an acoustic guitar, weird voice effects on Dan, and some like bells and whistles here and there. It just seems lazy to me. I've never ever hear anyone talk about the song.
Yeah.
And I think that's because most people just forget about it. It's not offensively bad or anything. It's just not good.
Yeah.
So it's
very passable.
Because like a lot of like the Wonder Years songs, like every single song they've released, I can almost be into in one way or another, except for this one. And maybe like another few that I can't really think of off the top of my head. Like the bowling alley burned down.
Like their interlude songs, I can easily just like pass.
Yeah. It's like, again, not offensively bad or not something that I hate by any means, but something that I'm like, man, there's much better songs on this record. So I don't know. I have so much love for this band that like, I felt like it was only fair to, you know, poke at them a little bit.
Oh no, I agree with you. Like there's definitely some Wonder Years songs where I'm like, I don't like this, but then there's other ones that are just like 10 times better than the ones that I don't like. So it kind of just outweighs the negative for me.
Yeah.
And this is one that I just completely forget is a song.
Yeah.
And I think it's like you said, it's just meant to be like a somber ending to this album, which is like somber anyways.
Yeah. For the most, can you sing any part from this song?
Digging up the bones.
That's it.
That's about it, right? Because that's about where I skip.
I don't understand why they put that weird voice effect on Dan.
I don't know.
He's a good singer. Like, he doesn't need that voice. Like, it's clearly a creative decision, but I'm really curious as to who thought it was a good one.
Yeah. I'm happy that I looked at all your songs before I decided to put some of my songs on here, because we would have had multiple of the same bands on here.
Oh yeah. I saw you had I'm not going to spoil it, but I saw one band that you had on there that I had, and I was like, oh, I hope it's not the same song.
No, I changed it after I saw what you had on there.
Okay.
But yeah, if I was going to pick the Wonder Years, I was going to pick that, the song, the We Don't Have Trouble Sleeping.
What? I love that song. Now, there's a living
reason,
room song. There,
yeah. Living room song. There's a reason why.
Okay.
Is because back in the day, when it was newer, like we just played that song over and over again, and I got so fucking burnt out on it. Like it was to the point where my friend like learned it on guitar, but he doesn't know how to play guitar. So each time he had the guitar in his hand, he would do that doom doom ding doom doom ding doom doom ding, and I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude. I do not want to hear this song ever again. But now when I hear it, I listen to about half of it. And I'm like, all right, I'll skip it.
Yeah, maybe like you got like 3 more years of not listening to it for you to go back to it and be like, oh,
maybe,
this is
maybe. Well, I guess it is 2022, so the anniversary of the world ending is this year.
Yeah, that's
May 20th.
They just fucked up. It's actually happening this year.
You know?
Do you remember when that was happening? Like they kept saying, oh, it's gonna be. I think it was like December.
December.
It's like December 12th of 2012, right?
Yeah.
12/12. And then it was because like a certain calendar and a culture was.
It was
ending.
Like the Aztec calendar.
Yes. And then everyone was like kind of freaking out about it. Kind of like when 2020 was a thing. Like they were like, the airplanes will fall from the sky.
Well, yeah. It was like that with Y2K. And then 666, June 6th of 2006, everybody's like, yeah, the devil's going to come. And I was like in seventh grade. I'm like, a good little Catholic boy. I'm like, nah, Jesus wouldn't let that happen.
Aw, that's cute.
And yeah, so, I mean, we're going to have events like that for the rest of our lives. And then when an actual like tragedy happens, everybody's like, well, you know, we made it through that, but like some existential one, like when they're always like, oh yeah, big meteorite's going to pass by Earth. And everybody's like, we're going to die tomorrow. And it passes by Earth and we're still here, so...
They just made a movie about that starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
It's pretty good. I always fall asleep before the end. Oh. So I don't know how it ends, but...
Everybody... I had read, like, early reviews for it and everybody's kind of like, I don't get it, or this movie's dumb, but it's supposed to be, like,
it's a
fucking satire.
Yeah, well, kind of. Like, it's supposed to be, like, how...
It's eye-opening satire.
Yeah, how we, like, view the world and, like... kind of like how we don't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, let's move along. What's your number four?
Can you tell we haven't seen each other in a week?
I know. Yeah.
My number four is by another band that I really love. Knuckle Puck.
Knuckle Puck. They're back, baby.
Some songs that I love by this artist or this band is Pretense. But Why Would You Care? Gone. And Evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
What album is this from? 2020.
Oh.
Or 20/20.
Yeah, 20.
Like 2020.
Like 2020 vision.
You know? Mm-hmm. When did it come out?
1996.
2020, of course. Duh. It's in the album title. Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
The song that I picked is RSVP. So you can't.
I listened to it today because I like didn't remember it
exactly,
and yeah, and I was like, and now I'm trying to think about any part of it, and I'm like, it just kind of blends into everything else.
Yeah,
done.
Dude, you are literally saying like half the shit that I'm about to say.
Oh, really? It'd be so funny if you saw me scroll like back up on our
for
list.
Like the, yeah, for like the past two songs, you like said everything that I wanted to say. Yeah, this there was like a 3-way tie for this being my least favorite Knuckle Puck song.
Oh, really?
And ironically, it was the first 3 singles that they put out for this album.
I thought, what was the, there's like Groundbreaker or something like that?
No, Earthquake was their 4th one. That song fucking slaps.
I think that's like in my top 5 Knuckle Puck songs. Levitate or whatever the newest song is reminds me of this song.
Really?
It blends.
I think like, Levitate is better than this song.
It's just sound. It all. I don't know. Like that's the thing with Knuckle Puck. Like, it's a great sound, but it's like they're one of the bands where I'm like, all right, do something different.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with them now too, which sucks because I was like in love with this band for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like a 3-way tie for my least favorite Knuckle Puck song. And for some reason, it gets skipped more than the other two. And I think it's just, like, the chorus of it where, like, an acronym in my mind, like, imagine singing an acronym, like, LOL or something. Like, you make a song about that. I don't know where I'm going with this. But, like, it's just off-putting.
Yeah.
But, like, this song sounds the same as What Took You So Long, which is the other single that they put out. And that single sounds like their first single, Tune You Out, in my mind. So like all 3 of these songs all have like the same, like, now it's not exactly the same, but it's like a very similar guitar riff or tone to it.
Okay.
Where I get all 3 of them like kind of confused. So I'll start off singing one song and then end singing a completely different song.
Okay, and so, interesting.
Yeah. Which like, and then like, I think, I don't know. I just feel like they needed like one more song or something, and they're like, well, we wrote something similar. Or like, you know, when you write a song and like you just rush through it and it's not like 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is one of them. And like,
yeah, they just didn't really,
which kind of sucks because like lyrically they've always been like super intelligent.
Yeah.
And this one just like, it just, I don't know. This album just didn't hit the way that I wanted it to, which sucks because like they were, like I said, one of my favorite bands for so long.
I really think like only the EPs really stand out to me as like
Copacetic is probably,
I do like Copacetic. You're right.
Copacetic is probably their crown jewel.
Yeah,
and I then would, the EPs after that.
EP, what was their, because Copacetic was their third album, right? Or am I crazy?
Copacetic was their first, like their debut.
Their first full, I'm probably thinking of the EPs then. Yeah, because I remember the one after that was like, okay.
Yeah, Shapeshifter's all right.
And then after that, I was like, nah, I really liked, I think I did like the song 2020.
Yeah.
And then I liked the Earthquake song.
I like Earthquake, and then Miles Apart, and there's another song that I like on there. And then the one with Derek Sanders isn't that bad either.
I should song. Probably give it another listen. I just haven't seen the reason.
I kind of came back to it recently, and I just skipped the songs that I don't like. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like hopefully in the future when they do put out newer music, they kind of rekindle that like passion that they had before.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they were expected to follow up Copacetic with the last two albums with something completely extraordinary, and I think they stress themselves out with it.
Sure.
I mean, they've even talked about it too, like in interviews. They were with Shapeshifter, they were talking about how they didn't want to have a sophomore slump, so they felt like they had to go back and re-record it and stuff too. So it's a lot of pressure.
I wonder if that was for the best, because we'll never really get to hear what they previously had. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. If I think it was like all the same songs, but there was certain parts that they just didn't like, so they went back and re-recorded
and reworked
it.
Them. Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah, it just kind of just falls on deaf ears for me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, now it's my turn, Roper.
Yeah.
I got a little band I really enjoy. Neck Deep.
I almost put a Neck Deep song on here.
I felt like I had to. Some songs I really do like. I was going for the albums again. A Part of Me. I really like Kelly Ma. In Bloom. I haven't listened to a lot of the first record. There's a few on there I do like.
That's a hidden gem, dude.
Yeah, I know. I should go back to it. It's so different from the EP they put out. And then Kelly Ma kind of went, like, it was like the medium between it.
I feel like that first album that they put out got skipped over because the EPs were gaining traction as they put out that first album.
Yeah.
So the EPs were still super popular and they kind of got dismissed with that first album. But then they put out Life's Not Out to Get You, and like that album blew up. Is fucking gold.
It is a gold album. I'm gonna be honest, the record that comes after that, I prefer over Kelly Ma.
That one,
I really like it. I feel like it's a part two.
Yeah, that one actually, like, I didn't like it at first because I feel like it was overhyped to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went back because I was looking through Neck Deep songs. I'm like, I kind of want to add them to this list. And this was last night. And I'm like, there's not a bad song on this record, so I'm just going to not add Neck Deep. And I haven't heard their newest record. So.
Well, let's talk about
it.
So the record is All Distortions Are Intentional. It dropped in 2020. A thing that you're going to notice about my list, most of the songs on this list drop in 2020.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. So what is the song? I chose What Took You So Long. This song was the least appealing track on the whole disappointing record. I have had a hard time saying it's a bad record, but it seems like to me this album was written for the kiddies in mind, like the youngins.
The kiddies.
I call them the youngins. Either or. The production is very well done and everything sounds great, but it wasn't for me. As for the song, It feels like it was meant to be a sweet song, but the lyrics really just make me roll my eyes. I feel like I've heard guys say this shit at bars to get laid.
Yeah, dude.
Do you know like how the song goes?
Yeah, on? I've heard a couple singles.
You are significant.
I don't know what song it was.
I'm sure there are some diehard fans
I tried to listen to this album, and I don't think I made it past like the second song. Cause really?
I like the first single they dropped. Like, it took a long time, but I did get into it.
Yeah.
Like every time I listen to it now, I'm like, oh, yeah, I still like this. But everything else on the record, I could really live without.
It just, like, I don't know what it... I think it's Ben singing that just doesn't do it for me anymore.
Really? Because it's funny, because I think he sounds the best. Maybe not the best, but I think he sounds good on this record. I just think it's what he's writing.
Yeah. Like, maybe that's the same thing that I'm trying to say, but...
Like, this record is, like, honestly for young people in mind. Yeah. I really, truly believe that.
Another thing that kind of like put me off to them was that She's a God song.
That was my second choice.
I was
for this
like,
list.
I came back to it and I'm like, I kind of like it, but there's certain parts in it that I like more than the song overall.
Yeah.
But like when I first heard that, when he says underwear, he says it like he's like a 5-year-old kid where he's like, underwear. And I feel like he's laughing about it as he's singing it.
Probably. I think I've heard them like comment on that song. Because I don't remember what they said, but they said it wasn't meant to be like this awe-inspiring song or anything.
Well, it's not.
Yes. It's not great. I'm curious to see like where they go from here on out. Like, it's been a few years. They're trying to go back on tour. I'm betting that they have some newer material they're working on right now.
Yeah.
I really hope they go back to the I want to say Cali Mall. What's the record name again?
Life's Not Out to Get You.
Life's Not Out to Get You formula. I think it's a winning formula. Although I think after two or three more records of that, like, we're going to be sick of it. So.
Oh, yeah. I think they should stick to, like, a more so positive vibe like that record was.
You think it's... I don't think that song... I think it was a very mixed emotion record. I don't think it was positive.
I think Life's Not Out to Get You, the message overall on it...
Yeah, it's like, Life's Not Out to Get You.
Well, that. And, like, there's certain parts where it's like... Grab life by the wrist and jump and stuff like that is like making you take control of your own future and shit like that. Or like how most pop punk bands hate their hometown. They're like, I'm not stuck. I'm staying.
Yeah. I hate that song.
You do?
That's my least favorite song off that record. Really? I remember.
Did you just listen to it too much?
I don't know. I think so probably. Cause that was like, I believe it was one of the first singles that dropped. It's not the first one.
I think that's Gold Step. No, that's Can't Kick Up the Roots. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember going into Target to go buy this, the album, and I shit you not, like, it was on the screens, like the music video. And, and you could kind of hear it. And I was like, man, do I really want to buy this record? after I heard that. I mean, really happy I did. Great. Oh, yeah. I don't have a CD player anymore. So.
Everything else on that record is just fucking phenomenal.
It's my second favorite record by them. I really like the next one a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think the song that really sells me on the next record is the one about Ben's dad passing.
Oh, yeah.
1977. Something
yeah, like, that song will make you cry.
Yeah, it is one of the best written songs in all of pop punk to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's what I got for Neck Deep. Love the band. Hope to see them come back with a little bit more of a matured tone to them.
Yeah.
I do think Ben's a really good writer.
Oh yeah.
I just think that he has been really cheesy lately.
Yeah. Get that cheese out of here, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that Wisconsin cheese here.
Yeah, get that moldy cheese out of here.
All right, bud, go ahead.
The next band that I picked is the band Broadside.
I understand why you picked this song, but I was kind of shocked that you did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so,
go ahead.
We can get into it. Some songs that I like by them are Empty, Heavenly, Come and Go, Into the Raging Sea, and Damaged Kids. And those are just a few. I like a lot more than that.
Yeah.
What album is the song that I picked from? Paradise. It came out in 2017. Now, Hunter, you ask, what's the song?
I am.
I love you. I love you. It's Disgust. Collapse into my arms. I'll take care of your heart. Though the distance grows between us, girl.
I want to hear your thoughts on it so I can get mine.
I think that I was thinking about this on my way here. I'm like, I think the reason why I really don't like it is because it sounds like a Jason Mraz song.
Oh, yeah.
And I cannot stand Jason Mraz.
I don't mind him. I mean, no. It's fine. It's kind of like Walmart music to me.
Exactly. And I think it's just like the flow of this song just does not do it for me. Where it goes, a doop 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 a doop. And I'm kind of just like, I feel like the song also was overplayed to me, not by like a significant other, just like my friend would play it in the car all the time. And I'd be like, dude, I cannot listen to this fucking song.
Maybe he was trying to tell you something.
I don't know. He's married now. He has a kid now.
I love you. It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
I think it would make sense.
And like at the time that this record came out, it was like, this is like when Twitter was more of a like bigger, I don't know. I guess it's still like a big platform.
I think it's only big for like certain people.
Yeah. And like, I think that's when this came out, I was more on Twitter than I was any other platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, this like Broadside, like I love the band, but some of their members were just like posting the most cringy like pictures and stuff. Like what I wrote down was like, it was like their RAR girl phase, you know?
Oh, beautiful.
Where like they do like duck lips and like the side peace sign, you know?
Oh, great.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, no, I've never been a fan of that. I think like as soon as I got into singing, like that died off.
Yeah.
But there was like, you know, that like one really popular one with like the girl with the big poofy black hair and she does that thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, that girl's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think she kind of like started a revolution in a weird way.
Oh, she did, hands down. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I think their vision of what they wanted their band to look like was completely different than what I would expect. Most of the songs that they have written before this album came out.
I was going to say, they developed into...
Into the Raging Sea.
Band. Yeah, like that. Yeah. I remember really liking that record, but I think I've only listened to it like 3 times.
I think that record's phenomenal.
Really?
And that should have been on my top 5 of 2020 instead of Seaways album.
Oh, man. We're just...
I know.
We'll just update it as the year goes on.
Yeah, I know. Just looking back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't... I just... This song just like... I will give it a positive, though. I think it's pretty cool that he's playing. It's just Oliver and the ukulele. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really, I mean, at this time, you really didn't hear a lot of ukulele in punk music.
I think that's when it got popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Because him and what's that one band that really got big from what is it? Oh, man, it's going to kill me. I watched a whole documentary on him on YouTube.
Oh. What are they called?
Yeah, it's going to kill me.
I can picture the dude right now.
Yeah, me too.
And he's got like a fur hat on.
Yep, uh-huh. After about 5 minutes of deep research.
Dude, it was going to bother me so much.
We discovered it was Never Shout Never. And yeah, that was a big ukulele act around 2007. So probably the mid-2000s. But we watched this documentary, not together, but apparently we watched it different times. It's such a weird story that goes along with that band.
Yeah.
Highly recommend checking it out. It's by the Cozy Inquisitor on YouTube.
He's got a whole bunch of other like pop punk related and
He just goes into history of like certain pop punk bands and they're like actually really well done.
Oh yeah.
So I'd highly recommend go ahead. Like it's the most informative like pop punk history you could ever find.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, where were we?
I cannot remember. Oh yeah. We were talking about the positives of this song, like it being a uke jam. And like you didn't really get that in pop punk at the time. So, and it fits the whole vibe of the paradise theme of the album. So I will give that, but this song is definitely a hard skip for me.
It's hard. Like I don't like it. I do like it and I don't like it. I kind of like the cheesy lyrics in this one. I think it works.
Yeah.
But here's my thing with it. The ukulele to me does not sound good. Like, I don't think it was,
I think it was just him and a microphone.
Well.
Yeah.
I know. Well, like, I do like when songs do that. When you hear that like lead guitar come in where it goes, you can tell that was not done in the same way, recorded in the same way that ukulele thing was. And like the ukulele has like this really high end to it that if you don't control, it gets like really stingy in your ears.
Yeah.
And
I
fucking hate it. So I don't know. I don't think it's a bad song by any means. I do wish it was redone and like reproduced because I think that you could do better things with it.
Yeah.
I think that song could have been like their biggest hit if they would have marketed it the right way.
I feel like it was like a last minute addition to the album too.
It's funny how it got so big.
Well, I mean,
or big for them, I should
even
say.
Even the last song on Old Bones, that was a last minute addition too, or as well. So maybe that's their thing. They're like, one more song.
And yeah, then, let's do one more.
The first one worked out really well. This one, for me, it just did not.
I was watching something about Sum 41, and Derek was talking about how in the studio, the last song they always do is the one that is the best song off the record.
I've been hearing that a lot lately with like Chris DeMake songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I heard it from his
podcast. Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see like how many of these like random acts that are not associated with each other whatsoever.
Kind of have
a very similar experience when it comes to recording. But anyway, you got anything else on that one?
No, that's it.
My next band, Roper, one I don't talk about too much. I do love them. It's All Time Low.
Oh, yeah?
I like All Time Low.
You don't like them enough to go to the concert with me.
I didn't. It was like, like, I feel like I don't want to be around the people that would go. Does that make sense?
I kind of hung out in the back, so.
Yeah, I feel like I would have been happier there, too.
Yeah, but I get what you mean, because once I saw the crowd, I was like, oh, this might be one that I'm a little too old for.
Exactly.
Which is weird, because I've listened to them since I was in high school.
I feel like they just hit a new popularity wave with their newest record.
It's because of Black Bear.
Gosh darn it, Black Bear.
Freaking Black Bear.
Why you gotta be so good? I do like Black Bear. He's like one of the only rappers I
like him, too.
Like.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's jump into some
this
songs
isn't
I like
about
here.
Black Bear.
This isn't. It's about All Time Low. ATL. We got Dear Maria, Count Me In. Everyone likes that one.
Oh, yeah.
I love the song Weightless. I wrote a paper on it in high school.
Oh, you did?
Mm, little fun fact.
Wow.
And then Something's Gotta Give is a song that I hear people give enough love. I really like that one. But the song we're going to talk about is off the album Wake Up Sunshine, their newest one. Guess when it dropped? Roper 2020. Oh. Again, so many 2020 songs on this. 2020, not the best year for music.
You said like on our fucking top five albums that 2020 was better than 2021.
I still believe that.
It's not the best year for music.
I'm controversial. I don't know.
With yourself.
With myself. You can't agree with me. I chose the song Basement Noise. So let me just say a little something. I actually enjoyed the record quite a bit, if my memory serves me right. I haven't listened to it for a while. But sadly, the song I remember the most is the one that drove me nuts, and that was Basement Noise. It is such a lazy and uninspired song. I can't figure out why anyone would like this song. Maybe the message, like, I guess the message, like, it's about them, like, writing songs for the first time. They play music in the basement. Boys in the Basement.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
All I could take away from that song when you played it for me was Boys in the Basement.
I know. Like, they're like, that's like the whole song. It's, and then like, I guarantee you, if I asked any big All Time Low fan, like, what the verse lyrics were, they wouldn't be able to tell me because like they're the most unforgettable. And I think like that's the, like, that's where you tell the stories and the verses. And like, I didn't get a story other than you were in a fucking basement. So sorry, I'm a little aggressive about this one. Like I was saying earlier, like the message is like, it's whatever, but the chorus is the same line over. I guess they did change it a little bit, but it's basically the same line over and over and over again. And I honestly can't stand it. This should have been a B-side that never saw the light of day. That is my whole opinion. This is like the more, you could tell as my list goes on, it goes from more like why to hate. So yeah. I still got two songs to shit on, so I'm pretty excited. How about you go ahead, Rope Dog?
Yeah, I didn't have any thoughts on that
song. Right? That's what it's just like nothing. It's like there's 15 songs on that album. You can take one or two off.
Is that your number four?
That's my number three.
Your number three? Man, the other two must be like really bad.
Oh, boy, dude. You don't even. I know you know them.
I know one of them. I can't remember the other.
Okay.
Anyways, the next band that I picked is a band called Seaway.
I like Seaway.
I like Seaway too. You want to know some songs that I love by Seaway?
I would love to hear them.
Something Wonderful, The Letdown, Slam, and The Day She Left.
Mm, good songs.
The album that the song is on is Big Vibe.
Ooh. I hate that album name, but I like the album.
I like the song Big Vibe.
Yeah, I do too.
We'll get into it.
It's just such a Gen Z thing to say.
It's a growing, yeah. It's like a growing pains album. Mm-hmm. So I'll get into it here in a minute. But like, it came out 2020. And like I was saying earlier, I kind of regret putting this album on my top five just because I don't think it's really that outstanding.
I feel like there's some outstanding tracks on
There's good songs on it, but there's a lot of like meh songs on it.
Sure.
And this is one of those meh songs, probably the most meh song on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Still Blue.
Yeah, I listened to it again today.
Did you forget about it right after you heard it?
I listened to it. It could have been a brand new song. I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. This song, this is what I wrote.
Okay.
This song just says skip me right when the lead riff comes on for me. I don't know why, but sonically, just like the guitar sound, just I'm instantly like, nope, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Lyric, I had like really high expectations for this album, like to the point where I'm like, I talked myself into liking it more than I actually did. And the more I listened to, or I found different bands in the last year between 2020 and 2021, I'm like, really was not that great of an album.
Yeah.
Which it kind of sucks because Patrick, their backup vocalist and their guitar player, he had to leave the band for like legal reasons.
What was that about?
Do you remember us talking about that?
I don't remember why.
They never put out an official statement why, but he also said in that statement that he was like still a part of Seaway when clearly like they're like now.
I wonder if there was some diddling involved.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Because they said it had to be like a disagreement with management or something.
Oh, yeah, now I'm remembering. Yeah. I feel like it had something to do with the record label.
Yeah, it was like the label or something legal. But yeah, this song, like, lyrically, I feel like it was kind of, like, lazy.
Sure.
You know, especially, like, in the chorus. I'm tired of punk music using the phrase sedated. Like, the Ramones already did it once.
I wanna be
sedated. They did it the best way, like.
Yeah, we one and done.
One and done. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, dude. It just feels like the song, they, like. After that big change up in the band, they were like, okay, let's shift gears. Let's make a more so pop oriented record. And they should have like, they should have stayed the course on that and kept and kind of like not distance themselves from their punk roots. But if they want to be like a pop rock band,
mm-hmm.
like you got to leave out like the basic ass songs like this. Like this felt like it was like a last minute addition where they're like, well, we got to entertain our original fans too, besides like trying to get new ones. And this one just, I just feel like it's not a good song.
Hmm.
And I was either going to pick this or that song, Mrs. David.
Yeah.
Just because that song's like really off-putting to me too. Like,
I remember that one though.
Well, I think I just don't like it because my name's in it.
Oh.
And I'm like, it's like a weird song too. There's like, maybe two or three songs that I like really like on this album. And then everything else was just like, meh.
Yeah.
So plus like their first two albums in first three albums in their EPs are like fucking great.
You know what's funny though? Like I didn't really connect to them that well.
Really?
I really like the song Sabrina the Teenage Bitch.
Yeah.
And like after that, like all of them, Slam, I liked Slam.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think the whole discography to me is like, there's like ones I want to pick and choose out that I really like, and then the rest I could just leave without.
I think their best record for me is Something Wonderful. I love that record.
What's that one look like on there?
That cover? One's got like the suitcase on it.
Okay. Yep. I think that's probably their best record as well.
I think actually that album's
isn't that
called
Vacation.
Vacation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the song Something Wonderful. That one's got like Lula on the Beach on it.
Yep,
and
Lula
then
on
that
beach.
Song that they sing about Martin Scorsese in it. Like,
I like how you describe that song.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's a good record. This one, I feel like they were just like, since the band shifted, and I don't know if Patrick, their guitar player, was like one of their primary songwriters, but like if you have like your primary songwriter leave your band,
like,
yeah, and nobody else really knows what they're doing. I'm not saying this is a case for Seaway. I'm just saying in general,
mm-hmm,
if you have a certain style and you're like, all right, let's shift because we lost a member, like it could really affect your band.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious to see what they do next. With their,
it's been a
next
while.
Album.
It's 2020. It's only been like 2 years.
2 years.
Not even.
Yeah. I don't know. If they do go sort of the more so the pop route, I'd like to see some more songs that are like kind of funky.
Yeah, you like the funk. I could give or take. Like it depends on my mood, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
So funkin' good.
I'm curious to see where they go, but stop writing lazy songs, Mr. Way.
Oh, I got a few lazy ones to talk about still.
But yeah, that's all I have to say about that one.
Ooh. All right. So you know how I was kind of angry on the last one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, I think I'm getting angry on this one too.
It's by one of my favorite bands of all time, A Day to Remember. Some songs I love by this band, The Danger in Starting to Fire, The Downfall of Us All, It's Complicated, Right Back at It Again. Like their first like four records are phenomenal pieces of work.
Oh yeah.
And then we got the record You're Welcome. We have shit talked this record a lot.
Cause it's not good.
I really like, Last Chance to Dance.
Yeah.
I really like that song. Like, and that's it.
Their best song is like their worst song on all five of their like previous records.
I disagree. Really? Yeah, I do. I do like that one. I also like Money off of it. Like it was like it's kind of different, but I really like the tone behind. I don't know that one. Everything else is Viva La Mexico.
Yeah,
that's a lazy song, but I like it. So shut up.
Once I heard this record, I was like, no.
I mean, three songs out of like 12 or however many there are, like that's not good.
No.
So let's just jump into it. Dropped last year in 21, the song FYM.
This song is comically bad.
It's so bad, but it's like offensively bad.
It's like terrible.
Let me say this. This song is almost offensive. Actually, it kind of is. So the story is the band getting this fuck you money. How are they getting the fuck you money? Selling out to Fueled by Ramen and making shitty radio hits would be my guess. Jeremy has shown time and time again that he's a good writer. But what is this? Like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
Even the drummer has got to be bored in this because he's just like, I just can't stand the song. If you can, I'm guessing you haven't heard anything that came before Bad Vibrations. Like, I mean, there's no way that you can hear their first four records and then hear this song and be like, that's one catchy tune.
Yeah.
You know, like,
wait till I get my fuck you money.
I mean, like, it's like sonically it sounds really good, but like the message behind the song and like the fact that this is not them. Yeah, it's not them. Exactly. This is not who they sold themselves to be.
No.
Earlier. Bad Vibrations at least stuck to the route of them being little angsty boys.
Yeah.
And now this is just kind of like, oh, people want a new record, guys. What should we make? I don't know. Let's have Fueled by Ramen tell us.
This song kind of contradicts like Right Back at It Again.
Mm.
If you think about it, this is the light bulb going off in my head right now. Like where he's talking about like all of his struggles leading up to that point of them putting out Common Courtesy. And then if he would have flashed forward, 7 years later, he's putting out this fucking garbage.
Yeah.
I feel like him in 2013 would kick his 2020 ass.
I mean, it's gotta be for the money. Dude, is the first time they had like a radio hit, which was the last song at the record. I can't remember the fucking that acoustic one.
Oh, the one where he just says
yeah, driving down the road again.
25 or whatever.
I see. It's like it's memorable, but it's not.
It's just like bad memorable though.
Yeah,
it's like a bad movie.
This is offensively bad. Like I cannot tell
this
you
song
how
is, yeah.
I'm, how much I'm offended by this song because it's like this isn't. This isn't who they are.
Yeah.
Like, here's my hope. that they get the money from this record and they're like, okay, we're set. How about we just fucking make good songs
again? Let's make what we want to make, you know?
Yeah. Like, I really do feel like Last Chance to Dance was a song that they actually wanted to make. And even that song has a few little hints in it that, like, just make me, like, laugh because it's dumb. They like to say, you're a bad friend.
Oh, yeah.
And then they, at the end of the song, this is my own fault, but they're like, who's going to carry your casket? Who?
Yeah.
And then, so they go, yeah, they go like, who? And I just picture an owl going, who? I'm pretty sure I made that joke on the show before. But
maybe.
I think it's funny.
Just picture our friend Brian doing his Jabba the Hutt impression.
Ho, ho, ho. So, yeah, A Day to Remember. They are a good band, and I'm, like, clearly a fan. You can go out and look at my fucking living room and see the little shrine I have
all on his wall.
Mm-hmm. Even You're Welcome, which is a disgrace. I think what I'm going to do is buy the first record and put that up there and just take that one down.
Replace it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I do love the artwork. That's the best part of this record,
yeah,
is the artwork.
But you can't listen to the artwork.
I know.
Unless you're on drugs.
Well, maybe it'd be better. So that's all I got for A Day to Remember. I got to, like, leave an episode out where I don't shit on them. It's been, like, three in a row.
I don't, well, dude, I'm going to shit on this band one more time.
What is it?
And this is my number one. It's State Champs.
No!
Yeah. I think everybody knows who's listened to this show and who has followed this show since the beginning how much I don't like this song. But here are some songs that I do like.
Okay, what are they?
My favorite my favorite State Champs songs are Critical, Elevated, All You Are Is History, and Remedy. Secrets is fucking rad too.
Yeah.
And they have so much more. Like, their first two albums are damn near perfect.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really get into that first record as much.
Dude, that first one,
it's got Elevated, and that's in my top five.
I think just because that was the first record that I heard by them, and I was so blown away by that album.
Yeah.
That's my favorite by them, but I can see where everybody's, like, Around the World and Back.
It's,
like,
it's,
I get
a
it.
It's a flawless record to me.
Dude. Yes, it was. And then they put out Living Proof.
That was it's very C plus work.
Yeah. It came out in 2018. And the song that I don't like at all is Dead and Gone.
I'm going to tell you, I like this song. I don't care.
Why?
I just do.
It just...
I don't care for the wah-ohs or anything like that, but, like, I do like how at the end, like, that build-up to the end.
Yeah.
Like, I just really like it, and it's one of those songs that, like, I don't really mind the wah-ohs because they're, like, yes, they are, like, copy and pasted throughout the song, but... There's, like, offensive oh-what-ohs, and there's, like, annoying. Oh, it's there. John Feldman came in and was like,
"That's exactly
some more oh-what-ohs."
Exactly. I was going to get into that. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Read your thing.
I was just like, where do I begin with this song? I don't even, like, I think I'm just to the point where I don't even know why I'm, like, mad at this song anymore. Yeah. It was just, I think I absolutely hate the overuse of the woes, obviously. I've talked about it a million times. I hate it in almost, if it's unnecessary in any song, don't add it. Like,
they got to fill out the sound, my man.
Let the instruments do that. That's what they're there for.
Exactly. No, you're 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
I think just like the woes are so overdone in this song and maybe in this whole fucking genre.
Really? I think this genre is not as bad as other genres.
Yeah, that's true. I don't, if you can find a good use for it, I can get past it, but this is just like right in your face. You're like, this sounds like every other pop punk song that has came out before it.
Mm-hmm.
The song. Yeah. I feel like the song was just written in 5 minutes.
It probably was. I know it's a very easy song to play.
Then it probably was. And I don't like, up to this point, like, up to the point of this single coming out, because this was the first single for Living Proof.
Yep.
State Champs was probably in my top five favorite bands.
Oh, wow. Mighty have fallen.
Yeah. And because, like I said, their first two records are fucking damn near perfect. Living Proof, this album, like, took me a long time to get into because of this song. And I feel like once this single came out, it was overplayed for me again. Like, my same friend was just like, isn't this song great? And he was just like,
bro,
it was Travis.
Nah, it makes sense.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm just like, dude, I can't listen to this song anymore. And he would just be getting into it. And he's like, come on, dude, isn't this great? I'm like, no, it sucks.
And I think it's definitely not my favorite song by them, but every time I hear it, I kind of get pumped. I don't know why.
I don't know. It might have been the place where I was at in my life where I just was like around my friend Travis way too much.
Oh.
And so, like, you know when you're around your friends way too much in any small, it's like a roommate,
uh-huh,
basically, because we worked together at the time. So, like, it was every day, and like, it was like this.
He's like having the time of his life.
He's trying to have a good day, and I'm just miserable. And it's not because of him. It's just because of like how much time we spent together. And so this song just reminds me of that time of just like, I really just fucking hate this right now.
So this song's worse than Out of My Head. There's no way this song is worse than Out of My Head.
I've listened to this song more than Out of My Head. So okay. Out of My Head might take, the next time we do this, it might pop up.
On, it might come back around.
Come back on. But yeah, dude. So I feel like this was just overhyped to me when it came out. And I was just like, I'm like, what the fuck did they do? Like, they can't come back from this. And then they put out Mine Is Gold. And like, I'm like, okay, this is a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I actually, man, this, you probably, that last record was like, I could not love it.
I that's kind of how I felt. Like,
it's kind of like dating someone. You're like, yeah, I like her, but like, I don't really.
Yeah, you have to convince yourself. You have to convince yourself that you like them.
Mm-hmm.
And, in my case, this album, I had to like kind of convince myself that there was like, that the singles were good.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, the songs that weren't singles were way better.
I like the Crystal Ball song.
Crystal Ball was good. Yeah.
That's the first, I think that's the one song on the record that I'd be like, no, I want to hear that live.
That was their third, I think that was their third single.
Yeah, I remember it being.
And then,
there.
But like their opening track on this record fucking rules. Criminal.
Oh, Criminal.
I think
is
just
good.
Because that's so fucking catchy, dude. I'm like, why wouldn't you have that as a single?
True.
Like, if I were to put out this record, I would take this song, obviously. Or I would take this song off, obviously.
You wouldn't even put it on there?
I don't think I would. I'd be like, go write a better song.
I would say go rework the song.
Yeah.
I think this song, like, for instance, at the very, like, I was talking about this earlier, but, like, it ramps up. And this song really shows off Derek's vocal talent when he tries, I should say that.
I don't know. I just feel like lyrically, too, it's not, like, outstanding. Because same band.
Oh, lyrically, it's not great.
Yeah.
Vocally, it's good.
Vocally, it's great. But lyrically, like, the same band put out fucking Secrets, and that's probably one of the best pop punk songs ever.
We need to get rid of the word dead in pop punk.
Dead.
Or, like, I'm dying or something
we
like
need
that.
We need to get rid of dead and sedated.
Sedated. There's got to be another one, too. Probably tons of them.
We should make a list.
I've definitely wrote songs with those words in there. I don't think sedated, actually, but, like, dead in there.
Yeah.
So anytime my brain... Because dead... The reason why dead is a very, like, powerful yet easy to rhyme word. So
well, you can't come back, from... You can't come back from death.
Okay.
If you're dead.
I was trying to think of, like, a really bad band that came back that we were like, why? Like AC/DC or something.
Their first lead singer died, and he's not back.
Yeah, well, the rest of the band
proves
is.
Proves my case, bro.
Okay, all right. Well, what else you got on this bad boy song? This naughty song?
I think I said all that I really needed to say. Like,
can you do the oh, what ohs for me?
This, you're dead and gone.
Okay, my turn. Oh, I'm so excited to shit on this song. I hate this song. Songs by one of my favorite fucking bands, Grayscale. Some songs I like by Grayscale. Just Right, Bad Love, Babylon, Painkiller Weather, all of them. The last two records are masterpieces, and I believe that they should be celebrated. But then the sunny day turned into clouds. Sometime in 2020, it was a single. And that song is called Diamonds. Can't stop me from dancing, can't keep me from blooming. Welcome to my, this world is my diamond. Ooh, 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 ooh.
is another song that I had to convince myself that I like.
You're an idiot. I'm so sorry. What were they doing? This song will not escape my head. If you wanted to torture me to get information out of me, this would be the song to do that. Like, oh my God. It's an insult to their previous work. It has no heart. It sounds like I were to walk into a Hollister store. The lazy beat and hand claps. It doesn't have anything that makes it stand out. The pre-chorus was almost decent, but then the chorus comes in and throws that out the fucking window.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Like, I really feel like the song was a feeler that they put out to see if they could get any success out of it and move their music in that direction. And I'm so fucking happy it had no effect on Yeah. Ottawa. Like, none. Like, what? But, like, why? Like, why did they put this song out?
I don't know.
Roper, I need answers.
If you guys can see him now, he's got a vein sticking out of his head.
And it comes out when I get frustrated.
Yeah.
If they ever released, I don't care how much it would cost, if they ever released a shirt that says "Diamonds Suck," I will buy it. Oh, I will buy it so fucking fast. Or it has like the Diamonds Out album the artwork, and it just says canceled over it. Ooh, I'll buy that too.
Nice.
Anything that like shuts this song down. I'm telling you, if any of you like this song. How? Like, it's so bad.
I agree with everything that you just said. I think everything leading up into the chorus is good.
No. I think the verses are horrible.
You don't like the verses?
No, I hate them.
I think I like the flow of the verses.
I hate that.
Really?
I because there's no heart to what he's singing.
That's true.
It's very, like, calculated, like a robot did it.
Damn, I'm feeling right. Yeah.
It's kind of like when you use Logic, there's something called drummer, and then drummer will like put down like a beat.
Yeah.
Like that's like if there was something for like vocals, that's what that would do.
Yeah.
And it's trash. But then the pre-chorus like kind of has something like, oh, something's going on here. And it's like, rap, rap, don't dance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. Like I remember the first time I heard this and I was like, I don't think I heard this song right. And I listened to it again, and I was like, no, I definitely heard that right.
Definitely heard it.
I was like, I was about ready to drop them after hearing this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Umbra is a piece of art.
Oh, yeah.
And
this is what you throw in the trash before you make your, like, masterpiece.
Yeah, well, usually what they do is, like if you release a single, they'll just throw it on to the record.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going
to
do.
And me too. I was like, oh, there's got to be songs that, like, match the song to, like, make it fit in. And thank the fucking Lord. There's someone in the band must have been like, guys, no. Let's stop this mess.
Yeah.
And then we were saved.
I honestly forgot it was a song.
I can't
for
forget
the longest
it.
Time.
I literally can't forget it. Even the artwork. Like looks like trash.
Well, it looks like copy paste, like Photoshop stuff.
Absolutely, I'm pretty sure that's what. Like when they go for singles, most bands don't really care to make the artwork look all that good anyway. So I'll forgive them with that. But I will always remember this song. Like they'll put out the best record ever, and everyone in the world will be like, wow, Grayscale's the best band ever. And then you'll hear me chipe up, and be like, remember that one song, Diamonds?
You're like the guy from fucking SpongeBob. Who just yells from the crowd, the fish guy.
Well, most of them were fish.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what he says.
I remember that he's like, my leg.
Yeah, that guy. Or the hoopla guy.
Yeah.
Hoopla!
After I heard this song, I went, my legs! I can't feel this. Do you remember, like, the last episode where you were like, where it was so good leap. That it, like, shot, like, you couldn't stand or something? Remember,
oh, yeah.
And that's what this song was for me, except the opposite.
Bad.
It was so bad I lost.
It was so bad it paralyzed
I
you.
I lost feelings in my life.
It's true. I think this song came out like the first time I met you, and I was wondering why you were wheelchair bound the first time I met you.
Yeah. You were like, what's up with
it
this
It wasn't
because
you fell down on the porch. It was...
Oh, wow. Okay. That's our top five songs we hate by bands we love. So should we move on to our up-and-coming band of the week? Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now this week, we have Be Good Elliot with their song, Day of His Daughter's Wedding.
Godfather reference.
So what's this band all about? Let's see here. A defiant cry against the expected quintet pop punkers, Be Good Elliot are an electric, energetic blend of various emo and alternative rock influences from the heartland of America. Maintaining the tempo, the group zips in and out of catchy choruses with guitar-driven rhythm-sizzling synths and a cast of strong supporting harmonies that feel fun and reflective with the occasional throw to the ropes of the genre. Ooh. You guys are good at this bio stuff. I don't know how you come up with this shit. The group grapples their way through complications of common life with an honest, warm DIY spirit that feels genuine, and it comes across in their live performances and audience connection, as well as the audio and video productions. Ooh. Be Good Elliot just wants to make good music, perform wholeheartedly, and have a good time doing it. I like that.
That's a great goal to have.
Yeah, I think that's what more music should be.
Yeah.
Anytime I can see when a musician wants to just make money, I'm like, that's trash.
Must be nice to be able to play an instrument.
You should learn.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I have a bass.
I'm trying. Hey, I play it.
I know. What's the story behind this song? The EP is a concept based around Elliot, who is an enforcer for crime family. Such an interesting concept here.
That's cool.
The song follows the story of Elliot telling the female character he is in love with her. After the attack on City Hall, she is feeling in way over her head, so Elliot decides to comfort her by saying how he would wear cement shoes just to sink into you.
Aw.
So, yeah, kind of cool. The reason I laughed there is because I just didn't expect it.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, on our notes, it's like split between pages, so there's like this big gap, and all of a sudden Attack on City Hall comes through.
God damn, I love a concept record.
Yeah, me too, baby, me too. Let's go ahead and play this jam.
Let's do it. You leave.
Kid Elliott. They're pretty good.
They were really good.
I really like them.
Yeah.
These guys, I want to like just say this real quick. I'm looking at their Spotify as I speak. 27 monthly listeners.
We need more. We need more.
Unacceptable. Let's get these guys up there. I really like the vibe these guys put off. Their songs are fun. They got some heart to it. They got some synth. You don't hear that enough anymore in the pop punk scene. Like, I think it's like almost looked down upon for some
reason.
Which
is weird.
Yeah, because it's so, it just really adds a vibe that these guys are special with.
I think if you know how to use that tool right, then it's like perfect.
Mm-hmm. But, and I think they did a really good job with it.
Yeah.
So guys, I highly recommend giving this band a listen. They're called Be Good Elliott. You just listened to the song Day of His Daughter's Wedding off their EP Till the Heart Dies Down. Such a fun song.
Yeah.
Please keep in contact with us because we really like this.
Absolutely. I can't wait to check out more of your EP too. If you, Hunter,
yeah,
do you know where to reach us?
You sound like a drunk guy.
I know, that's funny.
Do you know how to get to my house?
You know how to drive me home, because I can't. But for cereal, if you guys would like to reach out to us, we said this the past 3 weeks, don't hit us up on our personal accounts.
Keep doing that.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Have you had someone hit you
no.
over your personal? Because I think, unless I know them in real life, I have not had anyone hit me up in them personally.
I think I've had somebody from, I want to say Asia, like message me randomly.
Really?
Yeah, and they're like, I like your podcast. I'm like, thank you. And then they're like, I can't remember exactly what they said, but they were very encouraging, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so message Roper personally and give him your thanks.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. But reach out to us on the podcast.
Yeah. On the cast that we caught on.
We're both pretty good about replying.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Hunter more so than I am right now, which is weird.
It's because I'm at work bored.
Yeah.
And I just like look at my phone. I'm like, ooh, someone messaged
me. Yeah. I work with my hands and we have no cell service at work. So that's probably why I don't respond.
Yeah. Once it comes tonight, you're probably not here for me.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who
but
knows?
Anyways, if you would like to reach out to us, we are at PPES Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Spotify, YouTube.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah. And then if you can't find any of those, but you can only find one, we have this bio where we tell you about ourselves.
And we got a Linktree.
We got a Linktree right there.
Yeah. If you're an up-and-coming band listening to this, send us your music.
Yeah.
We got a little form for you to fill out.
Or if you want a playlist to listen to while you're bored at work,
mm-hmm.
I curate pretty damn good playlists.
I was just about to say.
And then Hunter, every episode that we put out, Hunter curates his own playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all the songs like that we have featured on our episodes.
Mm, don't listen to this one, but every other, unless you want to like hear how not great these songs are.
This is the most skippable playlist ever.
Yeah, and but every single song that you heard on our show today will be on a playlist. So if you miss something, it's not for you to like go back and listen to a lot, but it's something for you to like, oh, what was that one song they were talking about?
Yeah.
It's on there. So go ahead and check that out. We had a lot of fun with this one.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of, like, I know, you know when, like, small bands are like, big things are coming. We always make fun of that. But we actually have a few interviews we're really excited about.
Yeah.
So one of which, like, blew us away when we heard that they wanted to be on the show.
I don't want to say who it is, though.
Me either. Maybe like in case something doesn't come to fruition, but I'm incredibly stoked about that.
I couldn't believe it when Hunter called me.
He thought I was joking. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, we're really talking about readjusting the show and making it better and kind of moving along and being a little bit more of a professional cast. Working with graphic designers, talking about a website. All that fun stuff. There's a lot of things we want to do that cost money, and Roper and I are broke ass bitches.
Yep.
So I have set up a budget for myself now.
Ooh.
I'm sticking to it pretty well, but then the PlayStation store had a lot of good games for sale. So it's not my fault.
It's that goddamn Uber Eats that gets me.
Dude, don't. I never use Uber Eats.
DoorDash is just as bad.
Well, don't use any of them. Get your ass off your sofa and go get something to eat.
But it's cold outside.
Or better yet, do what I do. Grocery shop once a week and then eat out of that. I do not spend any additional money on food unless I forget my food at work. And then I go across and I get like a $6 meal, which isn't great. But it's something, you know. So I've actually only had to do that once this week.
Ooh.
That is a record. I usually do it every day this week. So, like, usually I mean, my meals come to $8 a piece. So 8 times 5, that's $40
nice.
A week that I've eliminated.
If it's any consolation, I bring my own lunch to work.
There you go. Yeah. Good job.
I've done that forever because I'm a fucking psychopath. I just... Same thing every day.
Exactly. So I make a huge portion of something. And then
I used to do that.
Mm-hmm, and then I'll take the leftovers over to work. These are part of our new... Do you have any other New Year's resolutions?
Well, I mean, mine does involve money. The past year, I've been really good about paying off like big bills, and I paid off last year, I paid off 2 major bills that were like kind of like
weighing you down.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that was last year's resolution, but this year's resolution is to kind of turn a profit. So,
have some saved up in the bank.
Have some saved up in the bank and kind of pay off some minor bills, which are it's a very achievable goal. So I'm very proud of myself. Also, I mean, I just want to make this thing super successful as well. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a lot of time, but you know what? That's all I got.
I really want to like release my EP that I've been working on for over a year now.
that's a goal for me is to listen to that new EP.
I'm hoping that we can have it out by summertime. I want to say April, but I think that's pushing it.
Yeah.
So, with me being on a budget, like Christmas ruins me every year.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So like my credit card's a little higher than it needs to be, so I'm trying to weigh that down. And then I have a medical bill that came out of nowhere, that should have been covered but wasn't. And then I also bought new mics for the show.
Yeah.
So I have like 3 big bills that like I have to slowly weigh down.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. It does suck, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, I just want to do that. I want to like get a raise at work. I think that's another big. So I've been working a lot harder at work and trying to make everything look as good as possible.
I just I don't know what work wise. I'm there for a paycheck.
Yeah.
And my day just
shouldn't do that, man. You shouldn't work at a job that's just for a paycheck.
Well, I mean, my day just blends. So basically, I'm not the type of person that takes my frustrations from work home anymore.
Yeah.
Which is good because even with this job, when I first started, I used to just get so pissed off and take it home with me. And then now I'm just like, it's going to be the same shit tomorrow.
That was my last job. Like, I just couldn't stand it. I woke up at 4 a.m. and then like I come home and I have to take a nap. And then I wake up from my nap and I have like 4 hours tops for I had to go back to bed. So it's like, it was just a repeating cycle of like, wow, I'm fucking miserable.
Yeah, you can't live in that stigma. I mean, like, thank God you got a new job and stuff.
Yeah, my whole life has changed in the past like 6 months.
Yeah, with my job, it's like I'm decent at it, pays the bills. I'm okay with that, but it's not my passion.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely my passion. I have other things that I like to do, and this actually like gave me the drive to go back to some of the hobbies that I used to do before I became old and boring. So
he is an old, boring man that goes to bed at like 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.
Yep, 9 a.m. No, I've been
wakes
going
up,
to,
goes back to bed.
I've been going to bed at 10:30 now.
Oh, so I can text you and you'll answer?
No.
I hate that about Roper because I always have something to say at like 9:30 and I'm like, he's asleep. What's the point?
I mean, sometimes I see your text message and I'm like, I'll answer him tomorrow.
What a dick. I always answer yours.
Sometimes. Or you give me one word answers.
Like what?
Sometimes you're like, hey, you want to do this? And you're like, yeah. And like, I need more enthusiasm from you.
Oh, or
like today I'm like, what time you want me over? And you're like 5 or 6. And I'm like, he sounds angry, so I'm going to meet him in the middle and say 5:30. And then you're just like, cool. I'm like, okay, obviously you don't care about me.
You're just like that. You're like that girlfriend that just like overthinks it.
Well, yeah.